Welcome to the April edition of BBRO Beatcast. I'm Francesca Broom, your host and Knowledge Exchange Manager for BBRO. With the sugar beet crop now being drilled across the whole of the area, we'll shortly be encouraging you to get out and have a good look around the fields. But unfortunately, that's not for an Easter egg hunt, but for you to keep a close eye on aphid numbers. I caught up with Professor Mark Stevens to find out the potential impact expected for 2024. So who would believe here we are in April and the drilling season has actually started, even though we've had the wet, cold weather. And I'm really pleased to be joined here by Professor Mark Stevens, who's going to give us a little bit of an update. But first of all, I think, Mark, we have to acknowledge the fact that we are quite a lonely place at BBRO at the moment with the unfortunate loss of Dr. Simon Bowen.
Jez, thank you. And I can't quite believe I'm sat here talking to you without our good friend Simon next to us to do this. Simon was integral to the BBRO and a great colleague and friend, and I still cannot believe he sadly passed away. I'm personally devastated. I'm going to miss him terribly, like the rest of the BBRO team and the wider industry. And it's a testament to his impact on not only the sugar beet world, but the potato world as well. And just agriculture in general, the number of comments and messages and some lovely touches that have been sent in to us, and I'm sure to the family as well. And yeah, Simon and I work really closely together. We were a double act. I just really do miss him. And it's going to be a very strange season as we go through 2024. But I'm sure Simon would have wanted us to keep going and do the things that we do well and make sure we look after the sugar beet industry as we go into the future. So it is really sad times, but the 2024 crop is going into the ground. And unfortunately, we also need to still think about that and provide the information that Simon would have been driving, as he always would have done, and making sure that we're all contributing and working together to the greater good of the industry.
Yeah, and as an integral part to the Beatcast, I mean, he's probably been on more of the Beatcast episodes than anyone else. Certainly going to be missed by me, and I'm sure a number of our listeners here that will miss his enthusiasm and his humour and the way he was able to put the knowledge across to growers. And he will want us to be looking at, as you said, the next crop in the ground, and that's part of the reason why you're joining me today, and that's looking at the virus forecast and what's happening with the aphid migration for 2024. What do you think we need to be getting across to growers?
So it's the beginning of April. I've seen my first yellow brimstone butterfly. I've heard my first chiff-chaffs. I haven't seen a swallow yet, but that will come. But what I can say is there's plenty of aphids out there, sadly. The good news, they haven't taken to the wing. But if you remember the virus yellows forecast that we issued on the 1st of March also indicates when the first aphids are about to fly. The Rothamsted entomologist predicted that could be from the 10th of April. And that's only a few days away now. And February was 4 degrees warmer, hence why the forecast was high. March has been incredibly mild and wet at times again, with very, very few frosts. So we've actually brought forward putting things in the field, and we're anticipating the first aphids really any time now. We've been looking and checking their overwintering hosts, particularly oilseed rape, and also any brassicas in game cover strips that are still in the ground. And you can find the wingless Mysis persica, the pitch potato aphid, relatively easy, and starting to see wing buds develop as well. So, it's basically, I think, we'll start to see the first aphids around that prediction point, which is 2 weeks earlier than 2022 and 2023. But 2 weeks later than the very difficult season when we had widespread virus yellows of 2020.
But at least we have now seen some of the crop going in, because at one point we didn't think we'd be dry enough to get to start until mid-April. And we were very concerned that it would be, you know, as we're drilling, so would aphids be flying around looking for the fresh tips coming through.
It always surprises me, Ches. We've had a really, really difficult winter with weather. And if you were talking to most people through February and into early March when we were doing presentations to grower groups and wider agronomists, you wouldn't have thought we'd have been drilling anything in March. But the wind picks up, the sun comes out, temperatures start to lift. And beet was going in the ground in the last week in March, which is encouraging. Although we do just need to be very mindful of what conditions are like underneath and wet patches and all those soil temperatures is up there. But crop is going in the ground, and BBR are working wherever we get the chance now to get all the trials in the ground as well.
And obviously, many of the growers will hopefully, be the same as us, and they'll be getting the crop in now. But for those that are sowing later, so say if we have aphids coming into crop round about the 10th of April, and people then sow after that date, what would be the impact of the aphids on them?
So the one thing we know, the later the crop goes in without any protection or any mitigation to stop that, the plants are at an earlier growth stage. And the earlier that growth stage is when the aphids land on them and start feeding and potentially transmit virus, the yield loss from that is greater. So that later crop is at greater risk from virus infection because an aphid likes a younger plant to actually feed on. It's more attracted to those. So it's a consequence of the season and a consequence of that winter weather. Because for some of you out there who are on the heavier land types, you have no option but to go later because you're not going to be able to get the tractors on the field.
But when we actually monitor the aphids, and when we normally do sort of 10 to 12 weeks, because the actual migration sort of period, it's a set time period, isn't it? You'd expect it's sort of between the 10 to 12 weeks. So how does that affect a later crop going in?
So that's a good point to make, Ches, because what tends to happen is we predict when the first aphids are going to come in. So this year, second week in April, we tend to see, regardless of when the aphids start to fly in, that period of migration and build up is somewhere between 10 and 12 weeks, regardless of the actual time point. So if you sow later into that period, clearly, this year, if you're sowing in the middle of April, the migration will have started. And so when those newly emerging sugar beet seedlings are coming through, they're probably going to be poking their heads above ground just as the aphids are coming through. But what we do tend to see is when you get an early migration, it tends to end earlier. That's because the beneficials are increasing. You get things like entomopathic fungi that also have an impact on those aphids. So if you get an early start, you tend to get an early finish. So I would anticipate that we'll see populations starting to decrease as we did in 2020 in mid-June and probably stop migrating altogether once we get into July. And in some seasons, believe it or not, Mysis perseus doesn't actually take to the wing and start its migration until June if we've had really cold weather, by which time the crop will have reached 12 leaves and beyond. And that's why we don't have issues of virus in those years.
So for those growers that are using the Cruiser SB treated seed, they will hopefully have protection. If they're getting in early now, they might see the whole season through, mightn't they?
Yeah, so I think anyone using Cruiser for the 2024 crop, they will gain 10 weeks protection. We've saw that from all the data we collected in 2023 and also in 2022. So it reinforces what we'd seen experimentally before that. So for many, that hopefully will mean no further additional aphicide sprays. But if aphids are still migrating into the crop, we would encourage growers, agronomists to check their crops if they've used Cruiser from about week 8 onwards. And if they go above the threshold of one green wingless aphid per four plants up until the 12 leaf stage, which then flicks one green wingless aphid per plant up until the 16 leaf stage, then they can apply an aphicide. Now, if you're using Cruiser, the first aphicide has to be a flunicamide-based product. That can either be Tapiki or Afinto. If you do need a second spray after that, if the threshold's breached again, then you have Incist or acetamiprid as your second spray. And the reason for that has to go in the second position is if you've used a neonicotinoid C treatment, you can't apply a neonicotinoid spray on top of it. So that's the order of the sprays for that. It's the same as last year in that respect. Now, if you're using no cruiser on farm for various reasons, we know about 40% of the area will not be using cruiser in 2024. The same spray thresholds apply. And we would encourage you to check a minimum 20 plants when you're accounting for green ringless aphids. So for 2024, things potentially are going to be slightly different because we will not be using Movento as an emergency authorization product. So what will have to happen is that acetamiprid will need to be used in the first spray window if you breach threshold, and then the second spray will have to be a Topiki or a Finto, i.e. flunicamide, which is different from last year because you could mix and match. This year we're having to be prescriptive because we're just waiting on the decision of the emergency authorization we've applied for the third spray, which will let you know as soon as that comes through. But in 2024, if you're not using cruiser, it has to be Insist as your first spray, followed by either Topiki or Afinto, i.e. flunicamide, and then you'll have a third spray option, which we'll be able to tell you more at the next BeatCast recording. Yeah.
So if we are looking at a third spray and we get permission, when will growers know that?
We'll know by the end of April from the information we've been provided. So as soon as we know about that third additional spray, for those growers not using cruiser, we will put information out in the bulletin, we'll communicate it widely, and we'll pick this up hopefully in the next BeatCast recording.
At least that gives the growers a little bit of security in knowing that, that there should be a third spray coming should they need it.
Exactly, Jess.
So obviously over the past few years, BBR have looked at many different ways of trying to mitigate the aphid invasion, whether that be dyes or undersown barley. Is there anything there that you think would be of use to growers at this particular moment?
Good point, Ches. We just need to reflect on the season, given that we've got an early migration. The colour work is still experimental, and we need to continue to evaluate that. But one thing that we do know, and we saw some value of in 2020 when we had an early migration and the virus yellows pressure was high, was that use of undersown barley that to many of you, you'll be planting anyway for windblow protection. But anything that you can do to remove the contrast between the green and the brown and remove that, we can actually reduce the aphid pressure in the field because aphids are looking for that contrast. And if it's not there, if the whole field's green, they'll keep flying. The problem that we saw in 2020 when we did the monitoring work was if you don't remove the undersown barley early enough, the yield penalty from lack of control is greater than the patchy nature of virus yellows if that's allowed to take hold and spread. So it is something to consider for 2024 if it's not too late. You either put it in just before you put your beet in or at the same time. But if you do go down that route, A, please let us know because potentially we can work with you to keep an eye on the situation and provide BBI with some information. But please take it out at the appropriate time because you can't afford to let it outcompete your sugar beet and lose yield that way. It is one of those options. If it's a year to use it, it is now. But we also appreciate with things really busy on the farm, although this is a creative way of managing aphids, if workload becomes really busy on farm, if that slips and herbicides don't go on to control it, then there could well be a yield penalty on the back of it.
Yeah, so it needs careful consideration.
Yeah.
And then looking at other strategies, obviously on-farm hygiene has got to be one of the highest problems we have. And I've seen a number of photos been sent in just recently of spoil heaps that are just not being managed correctly on farm.
It's again, it's a really tricky one, given the season, given the wet, given that you know some of the factories are still open and beet's still being harvested. We can do whatever we can do. And it's just a plea, whatever you can do to minimise the risk. And it's not just aphids and virus yellows. We also have to think about the other issues that it may harbour. So things like powdery mildew. We know the powdery mildew risk for 2024 is going to be high because we haven't had any ground frosts in February and March, and they rely on beta species to propagate through the winter months. It could also be harbouring things like Cercospora as well. And if you're not ploughing it down or getting rid of it or spraying it off, that too can increase the risk. It can increase the risk of downy mildew as well. So unfortunately, that green bridge, given the winter we've had and given the lateness of the campaign last year and this particular season, all these things need to be taken into consideration. Again, and we appreciate it's difficult. You're trying to get other things done and there are many other jobs on farm that probably are more important. But investing a little time to minimise that risk will probably pay dividends later in the season.
And isn't it surprising the difference we can see across years? Because we had 2022, the drought and then beet moth and then frost. 2023 we thought was going to be a difficult year because we were drilling so late at the start of the year, and yet we've had a good crop. And here we are currently talking about, you know, high aphid numbers and virus yellows and potential problems. But we could soon find, if we had a fairly cold April, that we have very little problems going forward.
Yeah, I think the die has been set for the current season. It would have been nice to have said we'd had 10 days of cold in January and February. The one thing I will say, though, is not, and we all know this, you know, there's not such thing as a normal season anymore. And that volatility in temperature or rainfall, or even wind, for example, is nothing I can ever remember in my career. In the last 5 years, we seem to yo-yo from one extreme to the other. We all know that sugar beet tends to like things quite constant, although clearly in 2023-4, you know, some of the root rates that have been generated are some of the best that have ever been recorded. It's just slightly disappointing given the challenges of the season that sugars weren't as high. But yeah, let's hope the season settles, and even though drilling is slightly delayed given circumstance, we get some decent roots again. And there's one thing for sure, Ches, once a seedling germinates, it's not going to be wanting for moisture this year because there's plenty underneath it.
Yeah, and we never know, do we? We can sit here and predict it. Yeah, it might be a poor year and it could be completely the opposite. So let's keep the positivity there and hope for some plenty of sunshine and hopefully good growth for this next coming season.
Exactly. Yeah, we may have talked about some of the negativity of aphids and virus and other pests and diseases. But the one thing that we do know, warm, wet seedbeds normally lead to rapid canopy growth and light interception, which ultimately leads to bigger yields. So fingers crossed that it manifests itself right through the season.
Yeah, and we hope we'll see some growers join us for our beet field events. So they're taking place mid-May and we'll be right across the area. So this year we're going to Morley, Yaxley in Suffolk, we're going to be Spalding, and we're having a bit of a long trip for us. We're going up to Selby in Yorkshire, aren't we? So that'll be quite a new one for us, and we hope to see some new growers coming along.
Now, I look forward to seeing everybody as we always do. And the main focus of those clearly will be where we are with aphid migration and the growth of the crop. So, yeah, we always enjoy catching up with everyone in the format we use these days. So, yeah, look forward to seeing you all in May.
And further details on that will be released in sort of mid-April time. So please do book when you see the invite coming into your inbox. So that just leaves me to say thank you ever so much, Mark, for your time. I know how busy you are at the moment, and I look forward to catching up with you later on.
Always a great pleasure, Ches. And look forward to seeing the rest of the industry as we go through the summer.
Thank you.
As the 2024 season gets underway, we are also looking forward to 2025 and have just released the 2025 recommended list, which is available on the BBRO website. So it's bbro.co.uk. There are a number of new candidates on there, including our first Cercospora tolerant variety. For those of you that are collecting your basis points, you have 1 point for this month's Beetcast, and that is CP/135976/2324/K. And as I mentioned in the podcast, please watch out for the Beetfield events, details of which will be coming to you very shortly. Happy Easter to you all. Don't eat too much chocolate, and I will catch up with you in May. Thank you for listening.